In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is the festival of St. Luke here on this campus. And just who was this person, Luke? He is mentioned three times by name in the New Testament, in Colossians, in Philemon, and in 2 Timothy, which read respectively, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you, Colossians 4:14. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers, Philemon 23 and 24. And Luke alone is with me, 2 Timothy 4:11. What then do we know about Luke? From the passages I have just read, we can glean that he was a physician, a friend dear to St. Paul, a fellow worker with Paul in the latter's imprisonment, faithful in his service to the gospel, and from the division of names in Colossians chapter 4, a Gentile, not one of the circumcision. His native home was probably Macedonia, for the so-called we sections of the book of Acts begin as the missionary activity of Paul turns from Asia to Macedonia. And he was probably from the city of Philippi, since he leaves and joins Paul there, and since he shows great care in dealing with things which concern that great city. Finally, Luke is, by very ancient tradition, the author of the third gospel of the New Testament, and the book of Acts, too, is normally assumed to be from his pen. But what can we learn from this man and from his writings? From the man himself, I believe, we can see that God calls men according to their talents. How appropriate Luke was for God's gospel task. Paul, the great evangelistic missionary, needed help. Not only preaching help, but physical help as well. He endured many trials during his missionary journeys. In 2 Corinthians, he says that he was stoned, shipwrecked, robbed, beaten, betrayed, and starved, and a body can endure that by itself only so long. In addition, there was the thorn in the flesh, Paul's thorn in the flesh. Perhaps it was persecution by the Jews, perhaps it was stammering, but more likely it was some physical ailment, and for this malady as well as for his general physical well-being, St. Luke was a veritable godsend. From Luke's writings, however, even more is evident. To be sure, in his gospel, there are many points of emphasis which are not shared by the other synoptists or St. John. The emphasis on prayer, on thanksgiving, on the Holy Spirit, on the role of women. But by far the most important emphasis in this work is that the gospel is for all types, for all classes, and for all conditions of men. The breadth and the depth of this sweeping gospel is seen quite clearly in the last chapter, chapter 24, where our resurrected Lord says that repentance for the forgiveness of sins in his name must be preached to all nations, verse 47. And this sweeping gospel is also seen in stories such as Zacchaeus, the Pharisee and the publican, and the sinful woman, as well as in such subtle points of emphasis as the word order of the Nunc Dimittis of Simeon in Luke chapter 2, which proclaims Christ as the light for revelation to the Gentiles and then the glory of God's people Israel. Acts is even more clear. Here the gospel proceeds out from Jerusalem to Samaria and finally to the center of the Gentile empire, to Rome. In addition, there is a detailed discussion of the fact that the gospel cannot be bound to the old confines of Judaism. As, for example, Peter sees the vision of the unclean animals in the sheet let down from heaven, ready to be killed for eating. And as the Council of Jerusalem decrees that men's freedom in the gospel shall not be abridged by Jewish laws. It is clear from the book of Acts that all people, Jews such as those in Jerusalem at Pentecost, Gentiles such as the centurion Cornelius, high-born nobles, such as Sergius Paulus, the governor of the island of Cyprus, and lowly slaves, such as the poor fortune-telling girl in Philippi. All are objects of the good news of salvation. For Christ was descended not only from Adam, not only from Abraham, as Matthew reminds us, but also from Adam, as we read in Luke chapter 3, verse 38. And from Luke's writings, we can also see that the gospel must be put into a form in which it can be effective. It must suit the hearer's needs. This is the second literary point. Here, two things stand out. Luke suits both his style and his message to his audience. On the one hand, he suits his style for the intelligentsia, because he knows that he is writing for the educated class. Luke Acts is a literary work. It is a true ancient history. It utilizes proper form with dedication, speeches, dates, a concentration on important personages. Any Greek historian could have done no better. On the other hand, his message is appropriate. His readers are not Jews, they are Gentiles. Therefore, Luke chooses those words and uses those phrases which a Gentile would understand. And sayings are told in an open way, not in sometimes the hidden way in which we find them in St. Matthew. Thanks be to God for such a versatile and well-versed thinker and writer as St. Luke, for by his efforts with the pen, the gospel was advanced from Jerusalem through the Roman Empire, even throughout the world. Now, what can we make out of all of this for our own edification here in Fort Wayne in 1987? It is gratifying to see what parallels exist between St. Luke and ourselves, and how applicable these parallels are to us today. First, God used St. Luke for his talents as they were needed at his time. And just so we too have been called, and called for a time such as this in which we live. God calls each of us, his servants, by his grace, to use his talents as they may best serve his kingdom, whether here or abroad, whether in a parish or at an institution, whether in the pastorate or as a layman. We are, as was St. Luke, God's slaves wherever we may be. Second, St. Luke saw that the gospel was for all. And we have this vision too. Increasingly on this campus, we are aware of this, the cross-cultural preaching of the cross. May God renew us today in this commitment as we follow in the footsteps of St. Luke. And finally, St. Luke knew that the gospel needed to be put in a form in which it could be effective, that he must suit it to his audience's needs. And to this, we too are now called. We are called to work at the word. We are called to worry about form. We are called to care about content, to tell the story anew, and to tell it effectively in a way and with words which our several hearers can and will understand. May we ever, as did St. Luke, strive to be effective witnesses to the word of the grace and power of God. May we take this high calling seriously, for then we will help to fulfill the mandate which St. Luke set for himself in the prologue of his gospel, which was our lesson for today. It seemed good to me to write to you, O Theophilus, in order that you may fully know the certainty of the words about which you have been taught. May God, by his grace, empower us to serve him, to speak his word clearly, and to speak it to all. Amen.